This morning's New Testament reading is Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40, which I think lines up well with the ministry of the Boise Rescue Mission. So hear the word of the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king shall answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it for me." The word of the Lord. So I'm going to introduce Jason. It's been a real joy to get to know him in the last year and 4 months. And he's really impressed me because he remembers my name. I've seen him around town once or twice, and he's like, "Hey, Pastor Douglas, how are you doing?" And I'm like, wow, that is really impressive for all the people that I'm sure helped them there, that he knows my name. And that's been a real treat. So please welcome him this morning. He's going to bring the word to us, and I'm looking forward to what you have to say this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Doug. You know, I must tell you, every time I see Pastor Doug or talk to him or hear from him, his zeal and enthusiasm inspires me. He continues to serve God and lead the congregation here. And I was standing up here for just a minute with Jim and just reminded how much we love you and appreciate you. Reverend Roscoe sends his love and regards. You continue to step up. You continue to give your hard-earned dollars to help us help people. You continue to give of your time, talents, and treasures. And we continue to thank God for you. Thank you for being so good to us. And may I say that your deep and positive impact is felt at the Rescue Mission. As I'm looking at that gift, I'm thinking, that's 500 hot meals in our world. You all are bringing hope to the dinner table. And that hope leads to the recovery to recovery at Boise Rescue Mission. And I think you'll agree that, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing, and we are glad in it. Well, spring has sprung, summer is here, and my wife and son, they couldn't be here, but they know that every time I leave, I get a hug, I get a kiss, and I take an allergy pill. This time of year, everything is in bloom, and Melissa and Joshua send their love and regards to you as well. You see, since they're married to a Rescue Mission guy, they know that you are required to go to at least attend every Rescue Mission event at least three times. And then after that, you have to attend three more times. And they have, and so they're there at our church this morning, but I'm sorry they couldn't be here. Just to say thank you on behalf of our family and on behalf of the Rescue Mission. And as I was thinking and praying about what to present today, you know, and I talked to Pastor Doug ahead of time. Lord, what is on your heart that I'm to share? And you know what kept coming back to me was, well, how do we love the unlovely? How do we love people that don't look like us, don't think like us, don't talk like us, don't vote like us, don't smell like us? Well, they don't believe like us. I mean, there is such a difference in our world right now. There are so many different divides. And just as Doug had mentioned, there needs to be such a unity corporately here at Christ Presbyterian and amongst the churches that we need to come together. We need to love the unlovely. So I'd like to start out by sharing a little bit about my background, how I came to the Rescue Mission, then I'll ping off of our PowerPoint presentation to show you what's new at the mission. growing up, I grew up in Southern California, and my wife is a native Idahoan, if that lends me to credibility. But growing up, what's that?
I said you're saved.
I'm saved. I'm in. So growing up, my mom's side of the family were all entrepreneurs and millionaires. And my dad's side of the family were all pastors and missionaries. So I spent years and years trying to figure out where the Lord wanted me to go and what he had for me to do. Funny thing, the other day, I was over at Trader Joe's in Boise. You know, we're serving about 4,000 meals a week at the rescue mission right now. And there's this guy, Victor, that works in Boise. And he came up to me, Billister, Victor, give him a big bro hug, you know, right there in the middle of the store. People are trying to get by us, trying to maneuver their carts, and we're just talking, and how's your family? Oh, my family's great. How's your family? So we're catching up. And he pauses, and he said, Jason, can I ask you a personal question? I said, brother, what's on your mind? And he said, you always seem happy. Where does that joy come from? I said, brother, my joy comes from the Lord. Where does yours come from? And I walked away thinking, you know, I didn't always have that joy. I didn't always have that centered happiness and peace that only comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. So I started thinking more and more about it. And for years and years after I graduated high school and I was thinking about my broad future and career ahead, I was moving around. I lived in Montana, New York, Canada, Sun Valley. I've told Mike and Carol about my walk and path, and I was always looking for that, you know, that greener grass, because I had this idea in my head that I would be successful if I got a really good corporate job, of course, made all this money, and I kicked some back to the church, and I'd sprinkle a little on the nonprofits, and I was whole. That was really what I thought, because I was trying to reconcile between my parents' side, my mom's side, that we were all entrepreneurs and millionaires, and my dad's side, who were all pastors and missionaries. So how do I serve God with my whole heart and still make a bunch of money? Well, I kept bouncing around looking for that career opportunity, but unsettled inside. And when I landed here in 2006, I was blasting out my resume to big pharmaceutical companies, hoping that door would open, that I would start in a management role, that I would fly the company jet, that I had all these great aspirations, really, based on nothing beyond what I thought my definition of success was. So my grandma calls me out of Linden, Washington, pastor's wife of 25 years, and she said, Jason, hey, I was talking to a friend of mine at church, and she said, just like Faith, she said, hey, you need to call Reverend Bill Roscoe, the guy who runs the rescue mission. And since you're looking for a career, it might be a good connection. So 4 months later, when I really did need money, when my credit cards are maxed out, and there were no other options, I called him. You've seen Rev, and he's genuine, he's compassionate, and very sincere. And he saw me with you today. And I was so excited, okay, who does he know? What connections does he have to offer me? So I met with him, I was dressed up, I was armed with my resume with a college, you know, there at the bottom, that I'd completed a degree at Idaho State University. And so he shook my hand, gave me a very nice, warm welcome, like Charlie at the door. And he said, so, Jason, you want to come work for us? I said, no, sir, respectfully. I don't want to stagnate my career with a nonprofit. I mean, I respect you and all. You all are doing good things. But who do you know? And I'm telling you, friends, he leaned back in his office chair. He looked up at the ceiling for a minute. And he pointed at the door and he said, young man, there's the door. Long, awkward pause. He said, I'm going to call you in a week. I want you to pray for a week. I want you to come work for us. Have a good day. You're a pastor. Like Doug, you're supposed to console me. Give me a hug. Tell me I'm going to be okay. Well, I walked out of there thinking, well, that was okay, Lord. Let's pray. And I spent that week praying with my whole heart. Mighty God, what is your plan for my life? I have a shelf life. I have an expiration date. And mighty God, you have a plan where you want me to serve, things that you want me to do. So after that week of prayer, I joined the rescue mission team. And that's when the Lord got a hold of my whole heart. That's when the Lord started to show me what he wanted to accomplish. And if I may tell you about what is new at the rescue mission, starting with back in 1958, when I'd mentioned that Pastor Doug and Mike and Carol know, and all of you know, that back in 1958, we had started operating out of the back of an abandoned Chinese restaurant with a group of elders that linked arms and said, we need to serve and help people. Our mission is to rescue people and point them to Jesus. Well, that's where we started. And then in about 71, we'd opened up what became our Front Street shelter. And then from there, we've gone from the abandoned Chinese restaurant to now about 200,000 square feet of facility space. Boy, our Lord is good, amen? Amen? And would you mind clicking the first slide? I'll show you what's new at the rescue mission. In just a minute. You know, I will add... Okay, so we have been serving people since 58, thanks to your help. Last night, 352 hurting, homeless, jobless, broken men, women, and children checking to sleep in our beds last night. In our Boise facilities, we have our River of Life men's shelter. Right below that, we have our City Light Home for Women and Children, two prominent shelters you all have been at and served at. Next slide. In Nampa, we have our Valley Women and Children shelter. We also have 54 transitional rooms and apartments for men, women, and children. We also have our Ministry Center warehouse in Boise. We affectionately call it Boise Rescue Mission World Headquarters. And in Nampa, wow, that was our Lighthouse Rescue Mission. We have converted into the Ukrainian Welcome Center. You see, as you may know already, we had 100 men per night staying there. We had great staff, services, meals, programs. One night, we went from 100 to 2. We thought, well, did we miss the rapture? What happened? Lord, what do we do? There's nobody here. And that went on for months and months. Everybody was gone. We came to find out that another organization, we love them, we appreciate them, Salvation Army, had received a $180,000 federal COVID grant. So they were putting people in hotels. So you got your choice of cable TV and hot showers and you know, a nice arrangement, or you get to stay in a rescue mission. So for months and months, we thought, what are we going to do? You know what the Lord said? Wait. So we waited. Months later, and we were about to sell the building. I mean, literally, Lord, are we being fiscally responsible? Are we being good stewards of what you have provided? We got a call from the Nazarene Church saying, you know, we have two Ukrainian congregations and hundreds of war-torn homeless Ukrainians being relocated to this area. You all have an empty building. Can we use it? We said, that's a great idea. So we opened up the Ukrainian Welcome Center. We have gifted the building to them for 2 years, but we still own it and everything. We're providing them meals. We're helping with staff, all the supplies that they need, thanks to your help. We've had over 440 Ukrainian families successfully come through, acclimate, take classes like how to speak English, how to find gainful employment, how to get your driver's license. We are seeing lives being touched and changed through the Ukrainian Welcome Center. We also have our recovery lodge for guests that are medically fragile, for young pregnant girls, ages 16, 17, no safety net of support, no family there. Our doors are open. We want to create that safe haven for these young girls. Right now, we have five babies who have been born while staying with us here in the last 2 months. A lot of new faces, but an opportunity to share and show the love of Jesus and provide services for our moms. And who asked me? Marv asked me earlier about the new building. It's now called, it was called Sunrise Manor. We changed the name to The Next Step Curtis Transitional Housing. This is a 55,000 square foot building on 5 acres. This will allow us to essentially double our transitional housing. This is the first building that is actually going to allow us to provide care for whole families, men, women, and children, elderly, veterans, foster children who have aged out. We're taking 100 rooms, consolidating them down to 60 rooms, 20 single rooms, 22-room apartments, and the rest will be 3-room apartments for whole families. And we're still going to host chapel 7 nights a week. But I'll tell you, this has been such a big project. It's an old building. Every time you open up a wall, you know, it's more asbestos. Got to redo the electrical and the plumbing, and it is costly, but we hope to get half of that building open by the end of this year and the other half in spring of 2024. I don't know if you can see, this is the inside of the Next Step Curtis. It was previously an assisted living home, very spacious, 2 commercial kitchens, 4 laundry rooms. So you might be able to see the general living room area, a hallway. It looks a lot different now with all of the construction going on, but next slide. Bathroom, individual room. Kitchen, dining area. Now, details about our services and programs. We are providing 3 basic services: emergency overnight shelter, recovery programs, and then when somebody completes a recovery program, we have transitional housing. So we have emergency overnight shelter, and then our New Life Discipleship Addiction Recovery Program, and of course, transitional housing. But under the recovery programs, we have accountability and work reentry. 36% of our guests staying with us right now are gainfully employed, working, making money, saving money, getting ready to move out. We have our Veterans Ministries program with a 91% success rate. We have about 45 veterans staying with us right now at River of Life. In-house mental health care, kids and teens program, very robust children's program. We've got to break that cycle of homelessness. Respite care at the Recovery Lodge, and our new crisis and unplanned pregnancy program called Cradle of Hope. Again, for young pregnant girls with no place to go. There is always room in the inn at Boise Rescue Mission. Just a few details here. Like I said, last night we actually had 352 men, women, and children sleep in our beds. We're serving right now between 600 and 700 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We're giving away about 3,000 items of clothing a month. So all the stuff you provide, the gym brings down, we get to help and serve people and prepare them for their jobs. And in 2022, more than 300 people successfully transitioned out of our shelters and programs into stable housing. And you know what, friends? We had 915 decisions for Jesus Christ. So that's what you all are doing. And here's a broader question. How do we love and serve so many people who are so different, such a diverse population with so many different needs? Well, I want to share a few stories with you that I really hope will resonate with you and I believe will all help us love the unlovely. I was called to McCall for a men's retreat. And I'm sitting across the breakfast table from a billionaire. Now, I knew who he was. He didn't know who I was. We all were wearing name tags, you know. And I'm thinking, oh boy, Lord, let me talk to him. He can bless us. He can bless us through his business dealings. We can make a big impact, Lord. And the Lord said, listen. That's all he said to me. Just listen. So as we're talking, I said, good morning, sir. He said, well, good morning. Jason, how are you? I said, I'm doing well, and how are you? He said, I think I'm having one of the best days of my life. Wow, what does that mean coming from a billionaire? I was thinking that guy had bathtubs full of money, that he was doing snow angels and $100 bills, that he closed some big business deal. So when I asked him what made this the best day of his life, he said, well, I'm almost to the end of myself. I said, what does that mean? He said, oh, well, I have almost got myself out of the way so the Lord can do with me and through me what he wants to. And I walked away, friends, thinking, that's what I need. I need less of me, 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 and more of him, him, him. And I want to serve him in the way that he wants me to serve him. And I realized at that point that I needed to evolve or kind of stay stuck in where I was, serving according to how I thought I should and do what I thought I should do. So I decided to focus on the new things that God wanted me to do. Now, when I was in elementary school, and I think you'll relate to this, you wanted to be in high school. And when you're in high school, you wanted to be in college. But when you were in fourth grade, you weren't ready to move to high school because you didn't have the tools, you didn't have the skill set. And then when you were in high school, you didn't want to use those same tools you had when you were in fourth grade. You wanted to move on with the new tools you were equipped with for a brighter future. And, you know, after that, I started to find true joy and peace in my heart that I needed God's new tools to serve and love people who didn't look like me, who didn't think like me, didn't believe like me, because there needed to be less of me and more of him. And I told my wife, we need to pray every morning. We need to read our Bible every morning. So she agreed. So we were disciplined. We got up early. We got our B vitamin, our Bible, first thing in the morning. We prayed together, then she'd go up and get ready, and I would pray one-on-one with the Lord. And then I would read my Bible because I wanted to be filled. I need that refreshing every morning. But was I in God's will every single day? I was in Nampa, going from business to business. And I felt that Holy Spirit nudge that I need to go visit my friend David's office. So I did. I stopped by. And David was on a conference call with Daystar-level prophets all over the world. He had his phone on speaker, but it was on mute. So he welcomed me and he said, sit down, shh, don't say a word, just listen. So I listened, and I'm hearing what's going on in Australia and Oregon and all over the world. And David gets on the phone, and he said, my name's David. My wife and I own this business here in Nampa, Idaho. And he said, sales were down $250,000. It had killed us financially. And he said, you know, he said, I was so frustrated every day. Lord, what do you want me to do? I read my Bible. I pray. David said, and this is what I walked away with. One day he walked in the office, threw his book bag on the counter, didn't even turn off the lights, locked the door behind him, and just raised his hands in the air and said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to pray? Right then, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he said, pray this way. Lord, what is your unique strategy for me today? And how do you want me to do it? Not doing it using my old tools to do new things, but how do you want me to do it? And David said he started praying that way with his wife. Lord, what is your unique strategy for me today, and how do you want me to do it? And he said, you know what? In a pretty short period of time, sales were up 4,000%. Not because he took out an extra ad or made an extra phone call. It's because he changed his prayer strategy. Well, here I was. I was ready. I walked out of there thinking, I am ready to serve with my right aligned heart and ready to pursue God's unique strategy for me and love people like he does. See, we need to be obedient in our relationship with God and do what he says. Because as the word tells us, that he wants a personal relationship with us. And the Bible tells us that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he has plans for us. And in the Bible, we'll see the phrase, the Lord was with them, throughout the Bible, because he was as he is with us. And he knows the number of hairs on our head, even though that may change every day, it is in my case. But he gives us a new heart. And you know what, friends? God's Spirit can work through us. And that takes so much pressure off of us. That we do whatever he wants to do. And by reading my Bible every day and praying every day and including God in every detail of my day and worshiping him often, my perspective started to change on loving people like he does. So I had actually prayed, Lord, give me a new set of lenses to look through. I want your eyes, Lord. I want to see people like you do. And this will tie into how do we love the unlovely? And I prayed, God, give me your heart for people. Because I want to love them like you do. And ironically, a couple of days later, I finished a great day. You know, I'd been at the mission for 14 years, serving God and raising money. And we had a fundraising breakthrough that day. So at the end of the day, I start my truck, and I'm just enjoying the wonderful, wonderful response. And a homeless guy walked by about 30 feet away, right at the edge of our property. He looked right at me. He gave me a big middle finger. What did I do? What did I do to you, brother? But my heart was aligned, and I was seeing and loving people in a new way, and I was ready to serve him. And I thought to myself, friend, I will not let you get away with that. I will pray for you right now. And I started praying for him. I didn't pursue him and actually ask him if he wanted to pray. I didn't know if he'd receive it. But my heart was right, and it was in a new place. Because when we have our identity rooted in Jesus, we can serve from there. Jim comes down 3 times a month to deliver the supplies you all have provided that we get to use and help and serve people. So things started to look different. And if you think of Jesus as being the perfect example, that he interacted with people, with the Samaritan woman, with the crippled beggar. There are over 40 different examples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The hemorrhaging woman, the tax collectors and other sinners, the leper. Leprosy was considered a sin in the Bible, and those people were outcasts. Even their own family didn't want to talk to them. But if you recall in Luke 5, the story about where the leper runs to Jesus, and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. See, and they lepers were at the bottom rung of society, and everyone rejected them. And Jesus could have ignored him, but Jesus, as the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4:8, Jesus did more than just heal him physically. He cleansed him from his sins. And we offer hospitality at the Rescue Mission to so many hurting and broken people who really have no family, who have no safety net of support, who are struggling with addiction and broken, and their identities are rooted in who they used to be, not who God wants them to be and has called them to be. So I want to end with this. Friends, God wants our heart, not just our gifts. He wants us to serve him like he wants us to serve him. He can do so much more through us when our hearts are right and willing to serve. And I'm going to close with this. About 2 months ago, it was still cold outside and, snowing and raining. And I thought I better grab my coat in the morning. So I went upstairs and I grabbed my nice. It was a Calvin Klein black trench coat. And I was going to wear that to work. And right then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, no, put that coat in your truck, but don't wear it. I thought, okay, Lord. So I grabbed that coat and I put it in my truck and I didn't wear it. I grabbed another coat. 3 weeks ago, our son, and that coat just rode around in my truck for months. And I forgot about it. 3 weeks ago, my son was wrapping up his football practice here in a park in Meridian. And I let him out of the truck. He runs to meet his team in the field. And I go into the gazebo to get out of the rain. And there's this homeless couple there, John and Cam. So having the right heart, I said, hi, John. Hi, Cam. Nice to meet you. I'm Jason. So we started talking, and her adopted family wouldn't talk to her anymore. His family was on the other side of the country. They got married a month and a half ago, and they're living. When I asked them, I said, well, where are you guys living? They said, right there, and pointed to the cement bathroom 10 feet away. Then he pulled that out of his bag, a piece of meat, like a steak. I don't know what kind of cut it was, but it wasn't looking very good. But he pulled that out. Then he started collecting garbage and twigs and started a fire in the barbecue, cooking his own food with garbage. And the sun was setting by that time. The temperature was plunging. And right then the Holy Spirit said, go get that coat. I forgot. And I said, John, do you have a coat? And he points to his grocery cart filled with dirty clothes. And he said, oh, yeah, I have this hoodie, like a tattered hoodie, stretchy with a hood, real thin cotton. And he said, I have that. So I said, I'll be right back. I went and grabbed that coat. I stuck my business card in there. I stuck in information about the rescue mission, how we love and serve and help people. We had a good conversation. I presented that coat. Friends, he couldn't even look me in the eye. But my heart was right. And I share that with you because, so what strategy are you all being called to beyond, you know, giving and serving? What else does the Lord have for you? There is so much more. So at one point, I needed a divine or clarifying mandate in my life. I needed that divine intervention for God to point me in the right direction. And I encourage you with this call to action, that pray and listen and do what God tells you to do. Seek His will and His unique strategy for you to help others. And use the gifts, or continue using the gifts He has given you to help others. Now, I have a rescue mission mandate on my life that colors my whole world. And if we focus on God's plan and continue to seek Him in everything, somebody will surely walk up to you in Trader Joe's and ask where your joy comes from. Thank you, and God bless you. We sure appreciate you. Thank you, Pastor Doug.